Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I be rolling with you, mommy. I be feeling the motion. When I'm inside you, I be deep as the ocean. When it comes to your love, can't lie. It be strong as a potion. That's why me and you forever be coasting. Let's roll.
Co-pilot on the passenger side. Be so fly. Yeah. She so lit. We so high. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Co-pilot.
Yo, what's up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Ra1, man, and we're here sparking conversation, y'all. You know, where we chop it up with some of the world's most interesting people. But today, we're not going to do that today. But, you know, you definitely got to tune in for next week's show because we have another Impacted Family on. And like I said, man, we're going to keep getting this information out on these Impacted Families until justice is served. And what we mean by that, it's not in a way that we're saying that we're just definitely angry and blatantly just going after certain people. What we're saying is that, yo, there are things happening to people out here each and every day, and they're done wrong, and they have loved ones, and the loved ones that they do have, they don't subscribe to just taking any type of information when it comes to the loss of their loved one. So they are fighting, and a lot of them, you know, they're fighting any kind of way that they can because they know they're fighting against a system that is set up to automatically, you know, have you to lose. So, you know, in anything that you do when it comes to life, y'all know that if it's a fight involved where you passionate about what you believe in, what you going to do? You can't play with it. You got to go for it. And you cannot allow nobody else to tell you that you don't have the right to do what you feel. And when it comes down to your loved ones, the way that the energy that you give based on what happens to them is how you're going to give it up. And people got to respect that. Everybody's not willing to just lay down and take any type of scenario that happens to their family and just be okay with it. So we're still on the path of helping impacted families, all right? So no threat, no fret. And on top of that, we have more things coming down the pipe, right? We're going to get the candidate running for mayor of Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going to have him on. So we're going to ask him a bunch of important questions to try to figure out how he's going to galvanize and get all the people to be able to vote and win this vote, right? For him to be the next mayor based on what does he have? Does he have policies or does he have programs? And for that, those questions, we're going to find out because these are the things that people want to know, right? Okay. Tonight, though, we're going to talk about something that's real important, right? I had the pleasure of attending the National Reparations Convention that took place in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. And I have a lot of things that I want to share with the audience tonight, right? And how I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this the most, you know, honest way I can because I did go there representing as press, right? So my goal is to cover it. But the one thing about it, being that I am affected by the things that can go on with the movement when it comes to reparations, I also have to give y'all the positive that I got out of it because it was a lot of positive. Right? A lot of positive. So I want to give y'all that. And I also want to give y'all a few things that I don't think a lot of people knew about. We're going to see. We're going to get into that. But then I'm going to have to give y'all the real as well, too. Right? Because there comes a point in time where you just got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. So we're going to get into that. Right? All right. So before we do all that, I want to make sure I do like I always do, give a double shout out to all the people who download the audio version of this podcast. I want y'all to know we definitely appreciate y'all. All of y'all on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, everywhere that you get your podcast from, we are there and y'all are downloading us and we appreciate that. And y'all all over the world, like I told y'all, we do it every quarter. Every quarter we're going to check in and we're going to let y'all know where we are so we can let y'all know the growth because we've been growing in different cities and in different countries each week. So it's very important that I keep y'all up to date because I want y'all to know where these messages are getting to. When they think that we are not able to reach the world. When I say some of the most interesting people in the world, I really mean it. Like, we really are touching a global base on the audio ports, all right? So definitely going to get it in after this month. We're going to go into June, and then we're going to do another update and show y'all who's new and what's going on with the movement of Sparking Conversation. Okay. Giving thanks to all the people that download. Thank y'all. To the people that click the links in the description, thank y'all. Remember, it's a couple of things in there that y'all need to check out. Remember, it's a free ebook in there for those of y'all that need to understand the difference between business credit and personal credit. Now is the time. Y'all know this election year, right? Y'all know that it's a lot that can happen between now and then, right? It's so many things that people are predicting. They're predicting that it might not even be, you know, an election, you know, and for the reasons is because of the government that's in place right now. And y'all know that they've been doing anything and everything that they want to do. And I mean, it's just the truth. You know, they've been doing whatever they want to do. They've been giving money to whoever they want to give money to. They have no regard for the American people. And the American people are sick and tired of it. So being that everything is look like it's leaning towards, you know, the Republican side this year, we never know what's going to happen between now and election day, right? Like if we'll even make it to there or if it's some other now new, you know, pandemic that's going to come out and try to shut things down. And if people going to go for it and if people going to be those people that are just gullible enough not to see exactly what's going on here and not take a stand, you know? So we'll see. Right. But if everything goes as planned and things are in a position to change, this is the time for a lot of people to start getting in your mind, what do you want to do with the next 10 years, right? AI is coming. Nope, my bad. It's here. So no matter how you want to, you know, look at it, no matter how the cookie crumble, right? It's here. So you got to make a choice. Either you're going to learn how to be a part of the technical part of it so you can troubleshoot, you can, you know, be those people in that field, or you're going to learn how to be the people that invest in the companies and in the stocks that are producing these things at a high quality, at a high rate, so that way you can still benefit off of the change that comes on. Remember, you got a good 10-year window before 80% of the jobs, the manual jobs that people hold today, will not be there anymore. But money will still be there. So you got to put yourself in that mindset. Imagine, you know, it's some people who've been saving more than 10 years and they cannot do a lot of things that you could put your money in right now that's growing at the rate that is growing, and you can get there in the next 10 years. Some of y'all, in 10 years, you could become millionaires just by doing some research, thinking outside the box, and not being scared to go with change. Change is constant. That's the one thing that's always going to happen, no matter who you are, what you are. Change coming. So what side of change do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side of change that involves your freedom, or do you want to be on the side of change that's going to involve begging? And that's what's going to go along with a lot of what I got to say tonight when it comes to what's going on in the reparations, because I want y'all to know it's a real thing. I mean, it's a real thing. All the way up to the United Nations, this thing is on the table. It's not a fabrication. It's not a myth. It's not Bigfoot. You know, they've been talking about reparations for a little while, to the point where it's such a negative connotation around it, right? When it comes down to it. But I'm here to tell y'all, no, it's a real thing. It's just as real as the UFOs, like, right? Like, I know people said that ain't real. I ain't my business either, right? Just because somebody don't believe in something don't mean that it's not real. You know, that's your personal choice. But I will tell y'all this, it's real. And so we're going to talk about that tonight, all right? I'm going to bring Meek up in a minute. We're going to see what's going on in her world. And then, yo, we're going to get right into it. You know what I mean? It's going to be one of them things where tonight, you know, we're going to have a conversation more so about people. We know people. For one, because we're around a bunch of people. Like, do we know every single person in the world? No. Do we know every single personality in the world? No, because we haven't been around everybody like that when it comes down to that. Some people don't even like to be around people like that, you know? But I will tell you this, when it comes down to our people, you know, we know them very well because we deal with multiple personalities of the same people within our family, right? We get on here sometimes and we tell our personal story about how we are with our family between me and Meek. And then, you know, we've had Kev on here. We've had other people on here that come on a regular, and they've told different things about, you know, different relationships they have with their personal family or their immediate family, too, at that. Not just, you know, second, third and all that other stuff. Some things they be talking about be happening to people right in their family. And then I think about this too, like in the concept of unity, right? A family is supposed to be that. Now, does blood really make you a family? I don't know. You know, it makes you bounded by blood, but does it make you a family? You know, it's just certain levels of things that people need to incorporate in order for it to be a family. Everybody can't go, right? Let me bring Meek up real quick because I want to really get into this information, y'all. I want to tell y'all a lot of things. We're going to elaborate and we're going to talk about a couple of things, you know, because Meek also was in the military. So it's great to get a perspective because, you know, we have a way of allowing our emotions to overtake our logic in so many different areas of our life. And it's bananas. So we're going to talk about it. Let me bring up real quick Super Spoon. Hey, what up? Hi, what's going on, y'all?
Cooling. It feels like it's been a long week already. It's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday, y'all. It seems like everything's been happening already.
Yes.
But, y'all, you know, today was a beautiful day outside. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, it was nice.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
That was amazing, right? This was not a day for somebody to be sitting in front of somebody's computer screen at all.
No.
And the temperature was perfect, you know, it was lit. I loved it. Today was a really beautiful day. I want to start off with that because I got a lot of positive energy that I got to give all based on the information that's coming. But then I got to get into some other shit, right? Because, you know, we talking about reparations, meet, right? So before we get started, let me ask you, when it comes down to reparations, what is your idea of what reparations is? Like, what does reparations look like for you? Choices real quick, because I want you to think about it in a way of like, how do we expect to receive it, right? So do you think that reparations should come in the form of money? Do you think the reparations should come in the form of education? Do you think reparations should come in the form of assets, as far as like land and things like that? Or do you feel like reparations should come in the form of just these two things, maybe together, but they definitely not would, you know, about it not being separate, but together, but free education past grade school and free healthcare. So those are the choices. Now, out of all of them, which ones would you feel like seems like it would be reparations to you?
I mean, for me personally, I would say assets, land, some shit like that. Some shit we helped already build. You know, money, yeah, is great. But yeah, if we could get land and something like that.
That would be dope. I like that. All right. So the reason why I ask in that way is because in the form of reparations, they will pretty much have for us, right? Because we got to think about who would be entitled to reparations, right? And it would have to be people who are actual descendants of slaves, right? People who actually built the country for free, and not just this country, right? And so we have to look at it. I would say that reparations will have to be, you know, all of those things together.
Because I mean, yes, we had to pick one.
No. You could have picked them all. Like, yeah. That's why I opened it up and saying like, what does reparations look like for you? Because look, the land is good. Like, it's not a right or wrong answer regardless, because land is good, because with the land, we could produce certain things. Like, we could produce our shelter and we could produce food. Mm-hmm. That'd be two less things that a person would have to necessarily go out here and figure out how to get, right? So no, you right. That's a big one. You know, that to me, land is greater than giving people just a check.
Yeah.
Right? Because the value of the dollar is different. And then if they do give it, will they give it to you in that, or will they give it to you in their own personal digital currency where they can control what you do or not do? Right? But that's another thing. So, no, I feel like they will have to do that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because a lot that I learned this weekend was, you know, for the last 50 years, there have been people who have been actually going about it in the legal way of actually presenting the case of why the descendants of slaves deserve reparations, right? Because in their mind, what the definition of reparations was, and this is what I heard all weekend, was the root word in it, which is to repair. right? Repair the damage that has been done to a people based on human rights. That's just like the basic thing of every person living in this world, you know, is based on the fact of having human rights. Now, civil rights, we know that's different. Get it? You know what I mean? Like, we know that's different. But we talk about human rights. Like, these people have been done a certain way. Now, with that being said, if we kind of, if we look at things from that perspective, if we had to be repaired, we would have to totally forgive the person who is atoning for the repair. Totally forgive it. Mm-hmm. So if an agreement of reparations is given to us, then that means that to the people who had done what they've done, we have to totally forgive them because they're repairing what they felt like they did wrong. So what I come to find out this weekend, which was different, which it was weird that I knew a few things, but I didn't know this. So in the forms of reparation, these are the groups of people who received reparations, right? So it was the Jewish people, right? We know that, right? Of course, we know that Chinese Americans, they got, not only did they get reparations, they were able to get a hate crime bill passed, mind you, in 30 days too. And it only took two Asian senators to get it done. One in Ohio, I mean, Hawaii, and one, I can't remember exactly where the other one is. I got too much information in my head right now. That ain't even important. But two senators were able to get a hate crime bill passed against Asians as well, too, right? So that's that, okay? Of course, it was a few other people. That it's cool. Well, you know, the Eskimos, and we know the so-called Indians that they said, and I'm only saying so-called out of respect. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But as far as the indigenous people of the Americas, we do research, we know how it became to be where the image of what they considered an Indian was the person that they considered with the red skin and the straight hair is what they equip, you know, as how they correlate American Indian, which we found out that's not true. We found out that through, you know, slavery, like we said, we knew that they gave, the reason why the Chinese got reparations because, remember, a lot of those people were sent over here as indentured slaves to work on the railroads. They were, them and the not free slaves, were the ones who built the railroads across this United States. So a lot of them were over here. So the way that the people started changing a little bit and how they looked was the mix of the African, not African, but the brown, black, whatever they want to call, those slaves, right? And the Asian people. That's where you got the mix of that. And also, you got to think about it, was a couple of wars that was going on around that time, too, where the Eskimos came down to help the slaves fight as well, too. So they also mixed in and interbred and stuff like that, right? So then you get that tone of the red and the straight. That's how you get the mix of that group of people. But that wasn't the group of people that is the original Cherokees and the Blackfoot and all that. We know they didn't look like that. Mm-hmm. These people had afros and all this other stuff. This is a known fact. It's just not taught. And this is, it's so many receipts about this, right? But one of the things that I realized when it came down to why they gave these people these things is because, you know, I feel like these people, they gave them money, right? Because none of the stuff that was here belonged to them, right? They came here for some shape, form, or fashion. They came here. It was some wrongs done to them, definitely. Mm-hmm. The Jewish people, the Japanese people, the Asian people, right? But I'm not even getting to Japan. The Japanese Americans also got reparations, mm-hmm. right? From what happened with Hiroshima and all that whole scenario. But not only did they get, the American Japanese got reparations, Japan also got rebuilt and all that other stuff through taxpayer dollars as well, too. So, you know, we know that that happened. But the only difference with us, though, me, like, the reason why reparations, they're fighting so hard against it by keep changing our name, we're going to get into that, too, is because for us, they wouldn't be able to give us something. They would have to give shit back.
Yeah.
Right? They couldn't just come up with a dollar amount and say, here, this is for y'all for what happened. They would have to give stuff back. Right? Based on DNA, there's certain things in museums that belong to certain groups of people. These people in museums are making money off of stolen stuff each and every day. That don't belong to you. It belongs to these people that's sitting over here. That's one thing. Land. Think about all the land that was taken from people. Not bought, taken from them. And there are buildings on top of this land right now. There are, you know, restaurants, and there are apartments on these, and houses and developments and on top of this land that was actually taken from people just because people don't know that this belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They got certain places that they use as tourist attractions that they charge people every day to come to that actually belongs to a person that's sitting right now. This person is in Bojangles right now on fries.
Facts.
Right now, me. Somebody right now that's on fries right now don't even know that their inheritance, they got a couple of million dollars floating through there every few months that belong to you. They supposed to be paying you rent. And so when I think about reparations for us, why they fight so hard against it is because, like I said, they will have to give things back. Not just come, right?
We're already the majority. So imagine the power shift they would experience.
What? And then the own form of government. So what they're afraid of is that particular portion. It's been a two-sided government for the last 60 years. And for the last 50 years, there have been people fighting for reparations. So I want to give a shout out to one of those people because he was 86 years old. So they had the Honorable Silas Muhammad there, right? And who this guy is, he is the disciple of Elijah Muhammad. So he's actually older than Farrakhan. So he came up during the time where the same teachings that Farrakhan got, right? And then, you know, of course, Malcolm X.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
So he was one of those people that was around during the time of X and then young Farrakhan coming up. But Malcolm X was the head guy then, right? He was even around for Khalid Muhammad. So these people were around. But he, personally, why I want to give him a shout out because for 19 years straight, him and his wife. Now, his wife is a lawyer, right? So for 19 years straight, these two, amongst others, you know, but these two spearheaded, they were going to the United Nations for 19 years straight, pleading their case. I'm not saying pleading like in a begging way, but pleading their case about why reparations are deserved to the people who are descendants of slaves, right? Do you know, out of 19 years that they was going, they've only been allowed to speak 3 times?
I believe that.
Crazy, right? And it wasn't the first 3.
Of course. scattered ass.
It was like leaning towards the end of the 19 times, yo. But then throughout that, let me tell you what happened. So, which was so dope, I thought was the dopest shit. So, because of them being so persistent by showing up, not being in their feelings, but showing up, saying, hey, we want to talk. Okay, we'll give you nope. All right, bet. We coming next year. You know, I ain't go, all right, bet. We coming next year. 19 times Fan went back, him and his wife. And then once they were able to talk, the first time he said that they allowed him to talk, they only gave him 10 minutes. They have been coming for about 16 years straight to only be allowed 10 minutes the first time. He said he went over that. He said they had to yell and scream and try to shut him down. And he went over that. He went in. He's like, yo, I've been coming here for all this time. Y'all only going to give me 10 minutes? He said he went 15 minutes, which was still, to me, disrespectful because he'd been coming and they recognized that. But anyway, another story. I bet. So he finally, and then the next year, I think they gave him more. The next year, they gave him more. But throughout those times, they was able to go and plead who and what and where. They had the whereabouts to a lot of the different people. So what they come to find out through the United Nations set out for a campaign, which they came back and told them, okay, based on our findings, there are 28 nations right now, right, countries, nations right now, who have a population of the descendants of slaves. Out of the 28, only 19 have accepted that that is who they are. Now, the other 9 who didn't, you know, from my understanding, which they would not say, but we know better, right? The other 9 are people who are closer to the spectrum of looking like the privilege, which would be the white, you know what I'm saying? White people, Caucasian, whatever that is. You know, they get so many benefits of looking so closely to them that they are not accepting the fact that you know that you guys are this skin tone and have this texture and all this other stuff because of so many years of the violation that took place to the women of your people. Right? Your skin tone, your complexion is not initially, it doesn't match your DNA. Like if you did your DNA, your DNA gonna come back to a person that is darker than me. Right? But you have put, you know, allowed yourself to believe that just because you're lighter than the most people that you ain't who you are. But that's another thing. Let's let that go. So the 19 countries that accepted it are, you know, countries that I know a lot of African Americans, so to speak, we're going to talk about that too, don't know this. Not even the people who are categorized as this really know this. So out of the 19 countries, there's way more. I'm not going to give them all right now because, like I said, I got an overload in my head. But which was crazy to me was, all right, descendants of slaves. Now, this is just descendants of slaves. So that's the people here, right? And then it's the Puerto Ricans, it's the Dominicans, it's the Cubans, it's Brazilian, it's the Uruguays, it's Panamanians, it's the people in Costa Rica, it's the people, well, it's just Central and South America, just the whole, all that. I just let all that go. Right, I ain't gonna name out all the people in them because most of the 19 countries are them people that scattered out through here. Now, of course, the rest of them are Jamaica, St. Thomas, Bahamas, Hawaii. Who am I forgetting? Well, all the Caribbean islands. I don't even know why I gotta go through that. All the Caribbean islands, we're gonna run through that. All of them, and then Australia, they have Japan, they have China, and then they have Europe, of course. So this is where all the people at. Now, remember, in the scripture, what it says, you said that people will be scattered across the world, just like, you know, and then it said all four corners of the world, and then that's where they'll be. The only thing is that when it comes down to it, when the way reparations will have to go, it will have to go to not just us. It wouldn't just be America that will have to give reparations. It would have to be all those other countries too, because they all participated in it. So it makes a difference whenever they try to compare the Jewish Holocaust to the 400 years plus 200 of Jim Crow that we've had to go through. There's no comparison, but for some reason, because of our lack of unity, right? Those people have been able to come up with words like anti-Semitism and all these other things to be able to shut you down for saying anything that doesn't agree with who they are as a person because of who they feel like they are. But there are no DNA tests nowhere proving that they are who they say they are. Like, where they at? Where they at? Right? So that was one of the things that got to me. So these people that do not stick together, let's just talk about here. Oh, I forgot the Mexicans. My bad. I shouldn't have forgot y'all. I definitely shouldn't have forgot y'all because they did y'all super dirty. The Spaniards that came over did y'all super dirty. You know what I mean? So these are the things that keep us separated, right? First of all, it's the language. So all of the people who are descendants of slaves, these are their main languages, right? It's Spanish, it's Portuguese, it's French, Spanish. Did I say that? Spanish, Portuguese, French, Italian, right? All right. So that's all of them together. Now, the other thing that keeps everybody separated is their skin color. Wow. So, because you got to think about it, if it comes down to anyone that speaks Spanish, they get so upset if you call them the wrong Spanish speaker. If you call a Mexican a Puerto Rican or a Puerto Rican a Mexican, they're damn near cut you. You call a Cuban a Puerto Rican, they'll damn near cut you. If you even try your best to say that a person that's speaking Portuguese is speaking straight Spanish, they'll disrespect you. Like, yo, you can't tell I'm saying something a little slight differently. And a person like this, like, hell no. Because the thing that I said is Spanish, your ass responded to. So somewhere along the line, that should go together.
Yeah.
You asking the wrong one. But these are the things that keep people separate. And which come to find out, even just by attending this thing this weekend, they still the same people. If they all did a prick of their finger and put it between those two little pieces of glass and then they get in there and they do that little DNA thing, same freaking people.
Yep.
Do you understand? They got Dominicans and Haiti on the same island, don't get along, fighting and killing each other. Same people. You got Puerto Ricans that are here right now, here, that do not join in none of the things that's going on in Africa, that in the so-called African American community. But like, they separate. They not separate. Everything that goes on that they do to us is them included. That's why whenever they put in those certain type of you go to a description of who you are when you fill out applications and all that dumb shit, they say Latino or Latino descent. What that mean? What that mean? It's so many things that they put in plain sight, right? Because they know how to categorize you if you pop off some type of way. They're going to be like, nah, you this. No, here you go. You said you was this. Mm-hmm. It's don't get nothing here. So that's another thing. So all these things that we use to separate each other, because none of this stuff was represented. But let me just say this to all the people that's watching. If you're Puerto Rican, if you're Dominican, if you are from Panama, if you are from Brazil, if you are from Cuba, if you are from any of these places, Venezuela, if you're from any of these different places that I'm calling out, Jamaica, Bahamas, St. Thomas, St. Croix, if you're from any of these places, Virgin Islands, all this stuff, there are people that are fighting for you right now. Right now. Whether you feel like you are like this other person or not. All my Mexicans out there, vato, hey. I'm telling you, there are a group of people who are out here fighting for you, even the ones that don't know they are. Because what's going to happen? You got to prove that you were descendant of a slave. How you going to do that? They're going to take your last name. And then for those of us that live here, it's easy. What's my last name? I don't have to go no further than that, but let's go further than that. Just through our DNA. just break it down. Like, yo, we ain't got to argue with nobody. You ain't got to argue with nobody here. So for the people who last names are not that, like the Mexicans, right? Like a lot of the Puerto Ricans, like a lot of the Dominicans, they all either last name Garcia, Rodriguez, Jose. They all got the same names, last name just about. And it'd be like eight people in the same family and none of them got the last name. Sometimes I'd be like, yo, wait, hold on. Who? His last name is Pena. But I thought y'all was... Hey, yeah, I know, but that's not... Hey, look, I ain't, never mind, right? But that's the thing. They all got the same... It's the same group of things. So we know that in that particular time, who they're still all from Europe. I mean, Spain is in Europe. Yeah, they speak Spanish in Europe, and they speak Italian in Europe, and they speak French in Europe. My bad. Y'all ain't know that? A lot of people back like they ain't know that. they think that it ain't... Europe, still Europe. Oh, my God. I don't know. It's just so much. They fighting for these people. These people don't even know. Now imagine if these people that get this information would, you know, like I said, sometimes it just takes it for a light bulb to go off or a switch for you to understand. Will you stop playing with each other? Like, yo, unify.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Easy. Not you. Look, you ain't got to blend in your families, but you could get money together. Oh my God, you can't get money together. That's corny. Yeah. Right, mate? Like, that's corny. Like, yo, y'all the same people. And I'm telling y'all, they're a group of older black people, women, men, whatever. They fighting for these very single people who just walk around each and every day not realizing that they are the same people that they not getting along with. The very same people. I was in D.C. and people were talking to me about, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? Yo, people from D.C., yo, they don't get along with the Maryland people. I said, yo, fam, that's a couple of stoplights up, ain't it? Yeah, like, hold on. Y'all don't get along with Virginia people? Nah, yo, we don't get along with Virginia. Are you crazy? Just because that's where you from, like, I was listening, and then I was just like, yo, this is weird. So, yeah, but that's, like, how it is in all these other places, too. The people be in the same area dealing with the same struggle, got the nerve to not like another person just because of the zip code. You are corny. There's somebody who was sitting up. These people, it was these old people have some money too. Let me tell you, they been sitting in there hurting for no time. Let me tell you, they sitting up in there, they got paper.
Right. They making sure you get some.
You know what I'm saying? Before they get up out of here, their lifelong mission is to make sure that the people behind them got something. They are fighting for other people and they got it already. And like I said, people who will not in the life of them will claim another person just by the way they look on the outside because for some reason they think that they're not that person. So when you got people like Dr. Umar and all this race, corny race shit, you black people supposed to marry black people. Did you know that it's a bunch of these people out here who don't know they black? They just don't look like it? What's wrong with you? We the only race that could produce five shades of people. So what are you talking about, dummy? Not that he's a dummy. He's a brilliant man. That's just some dumb shit that he said. Like, it's corny. So let me tell you something else that I found out, which was weird, which I was just like, oh, my God, I ain't back. So I'm not going to complain no more. So check this out. So Emmett Till's family. All right. So we all know the story of Emmett Till, right? The man who was supposedly accused. For those that don't know, if y'all watching, it's a young kid at the time. He was supposedly accused of whistling at a white lady, as if to be like, you know, she looks good. And he didn't. Then it was another story coming out, because there's a couple of things you're going to look up because they try to mix it up, where he was in an elevator with her and then she ran off screaming or something like that. And he was the only one in there. And so they figured that he did something to her. She never corrected the story. He wound up getting drugged out of his house, beaten to, you know, and all this other stuff. And so bad that he was unrecognizable to the point where they wanted him to have a closed casket. His mom said, no, I want y'all to see what these people did to my baby. It made national news, and then it became a thing. Well, the lady that wound up being the person who lied on him or didn't correct it allowed it to happen because her power at that time. She loved the attention that, you know, people were doing something based on her. She lived in Raleigh. Our people didn't know that. The lady died here in Raleigh a few months before she was actually set to go to trial for that, right? She was 80-something years old. They was going to take her. She died, like, not too long before that. And she was right here, in, you know, right there in Raleigh, North Carolina. But the family members, right, they've been rolling. And because Mississippi has been going freaking crazy since forever, right? So here's the thing. She's running for U.S. Senate. She told the story about things that's been happening that has not been able to make news because of the suppression of the news around there, because of how, you know, in that place of racism, they all stick together. So look, they have been retaliating against Black people down there. Do you know that every week they've been finding another person hung in a tree in Mississippi, like right now? She was just there this weekend. She said just 2 days ago they found somebody out. This is an ongoing thing because of the Rankin County goon squad, right, that had got convicted for what they did to those guys. It's in retaliation to their conviction. They are actually brutalizing Black people right now. And nothing is being said about it. People are keeping it quiet. The news is not reporting on it down there. It's just going on. And the people down there, they upset and stuff like that, but they still haven't unified. We're going to talk about that too. But anyway, that's going on right now. So a person can be just going to visit in Mississippi, or not that, just be driving through, and it'd be the wrong day, the last day, based on something that happened off of some people who were definitely guilty, but people felt like they shouldn't have got no punishment, even though they were guilty, because of the people that they did it to ain't worth nothing. That's how they look at us, right? So she's running for U.S. Senate. She was telling that story, among other things, and things that the family had gone through, because we had no idea that, you know, they used a case against Emmett Till's father too. That was a case that was fabricated as well, based on something that happened to him. And they used that as a means to exonerate what happened to, you know, Emmett Till too as well. So it was just the tactics and things that was used, right? But she was there, you know, in the fight for reparations, which was another thing. All that she's going through, the way that her family is pretty much, you know, national, they're part of history as well too. She could have just taken all of that and just made it about herself, but no, she was there in support of what it means to get reparations, because she understands the power of what it takes to build a government, and you know, you need money. So that was another thing that was dope, that I felt like that was amazing, because again, we talking about the sacrifice of people, right, who's sacrificing their lives for other people. So I'm also going to tell you another thing that was positive before I get into, you know, the bullshit, because yes, it's definitely some bullshit. Okay. So not in the sense of it being against everything that's going on with it, but So another thing that I thought that struck me kind of, you know, foul was our name, right? So the way that they called us, so we went from our original name was Property, right? That's how he was listed in the, you know, under the census or whatever, it was property. Then it was nigger, then it was Negro, then it was Black, and then it's African American, right? So these are all of our names throughout the course of time based on slavery, Jim Crow, and modern day time, right? So all that stuff is everything but exactly what we are, because, you know, people that are brown, they're not Black, you know? It doesn't even make sense, right, to be called a color. That doesn't make you a race. So I come to find out that they have been nationalizing us as Afro-descendants, right? Because we have to be separated from African-American, because there are people who literally are white, who grew up in South Africa, who were born there, who were like second and third generation South African, who now live here. They are technically African-American. There are Africans that came here, right? On their own fruition. They wasn't a part of the slavery. They wasn't a part of the slave trade. Remember, only the people that was from the western part of Africa was the ones that was even considered part of the slave trade anyway. So let's get that another thing. Those people live here too. They are considered African American. They're not the descendants of slaves, right? So Jesse Jackson is the one who came up with the term African-American, got everybody behind it. They changed us to African-American. What a dumbass. So now that they called us that, then that means that we're not sovereign to this country, because we're now classified as anybody else who come here as an immigrant. The games they play on us, right? Always
in our face. Like, that's just...
It's crazy, right? And then the people who go along with it, all your skin folk ain't your kin folk. All the people that went along with this bullshit allowed us to be called African Americans, to group us in with a bunch of people, to allow us to stay some free indentured, right? A group of people who are not sovereign to this country, who don't now in terms are not owed anything. And then we all accept the fact that, yeah, that's what we are. We're African Americans, instead of calling ourselves Afro descendants. Because if we are descendants of the people who are slaves, that's a separate group. Like, right? That are owed a different type of debt than a person that you group me in as an immigrant. Because one thing that we know about the oppressor, right? They're gonna make money off of us. They're gonna make money and they're arrogant. There are people who pay every day to go to some freaking plantation just to walk around and be like, wow, this is where y'all used to have the niggas. They pay to go see that. So if we all came over here on slave ships, where the slave ships at? What they not dock that, nobody dock for them to charge people to be able to walk on an actual slave ship so you can actually see. And it's not how many of them it had to be. They talking about the millions of people that was transported throughout this whole transatlantic slave trade. They had more than one or two ships. Where all the ships at? That'd be the number one money maker for people who really feel like they used to be masters out here. You know, they love to run up in there. The same people who run up on these plantations to walk around and look and say, like, damn, I remember. I wish we could have lived, you know. They would have loved to go on there. And then even those of us who are descendants of people would probably like to go see, you know, what happened and how those people were traveling and stuff like that. Like, yo, where they at? They make money off of everything that they have that's stolen. If that was the real story about us over here, they would have these ships at these ports as museum-based pieces for people to actually pay to walk on and to see. So for those people that walk around here believing that they all came over here on some slave ships, it's freaking crazy to me. Yes, the Caribbean island and all that, yeah, I get that. Yeah, you know, China, I mean, Asia, Europe and all that, yeah, I get that. But over here? They want us to believe that the millions of people that are the descendants of slaves in the United States of America were people that came over here on freaking ships that nobody has and nobody could find. And it's crazy. somebody, we had this conversation because I made an old head mad. I'm going to talk about all that stuff right now because a guy was mad at my table because he kept saying, man, we 4 million of us is descendants of slaves. We deserve that stuff. I was like, yeah. I said, you know, he was like, man, the reason why they ain't giving it to us because they just think that they're going to hold on to that money. They're giving it to Ukraine and Israel and all this other stuff. Anybody talking about stuff that ain't simple. I was like, well, yo, yeah, because, you know, they have to give us our stuff back because all of us ain't came over here on no boats. What you say, young blood? Right? We ain't all come over here on those ships. You crazy. How you think we got here? We wasn't here. And this is an older guy. This is a guy that's sitting up in there in the crowd as one of the people who is participating in what they consider the fight for our freedom, who don't even know our history. Like, this is a wash and rinse and repeater. A person that only repeats what he heard but did no research. You know how old people are that walk around here thinking they know stuff already, but they won't pick up a book. They won't tap their computer screen. They won't Google. They won't do none of this shit. And I made them mad because I was like, nah, that's corny, bro. Like, you know, where the museum? I asked him the same question. Well, where the boats at? They make money off of everything else. You ever been to a museum? He was like, what that got to do with it? I said, you ever been to a museum? Did you not see any? Did you not pay to go in? Did you not see any stuff in there? You think they bought that shit that's in there? We was in a church, mind you, so I know that made him mad because I was cussing. I ain't mean to. And I shouldn't have. And I'm sorry. I apologize a bunch of times. But I was like, yo, son, yeah, you didn't, you know, he's like, yeah, of course I've been in a museum. I was like, bad. So you think they paid for any of that stuff that's in there that you paid to go see? It's like, no. So where the ships at? Again, where the ships at? They ain't gonna make no money off of you walking on one of them ships to go look at where your people used to be. So you can cry. And because of that, and because he ain't had no comeback, he got up and walked off the table, man. I was like, all right, cool, yo, stop playing. I thought we was here to build with each other. I ain't know you was here to just sit up here and be corny. So then now I'm getting to the bullshit. So then, you know, they get in there and then they start to talk about, you know, boycotting these companies, right? There are major banks and all these other companies who benefited off of slavery, literally. And they got the receipts for it, which is totally fine. But their goal is to boycott these companies. I'm not even going to mention the companies' names because to me, it's not important. But it is important, but not right now. So what it is that they are out there literally, and they was doing that this weekend. They went out there, they had bullhorns and everything. They boycotting these companies, yelling outside at these banks, literally like, yo, y'all got based off of free labor. Y'all did this, that, and there. Here's the receipts. We got y'all here. We got y'all there. And it's true. Like, it's a couple of them who I know personally, you know, they got caught for that. It was a person at acquisitions who blew the whistle on them. I know that. But emotional men in a space that has anything to do with a fight is not a good mixture to me because they still moving off of emotion and not logic. I asked a question. They asked anybody, do they have questions? So I asked a question about the boycotts specifically. It's like, yo, so all these companies that y'all boycott, and I said, did y'all ever think about the fact that 70% of their work staff is these very people that you want to bring into the movement for them to recognize exactly who they are so you guys can get the reparations that you want? You know that these people employ these people, right? Quiet. Gave me a little bit more room. So I said, and then on top of that, did y'all know that these banks that y'all talking about, these banks do way more than just do the transactions of money every day? Do you know that some of these banks have auto divisions? Do you know some of these banks have mortgage divisions? Do you know that some of these banks have, you know, credit card divisions, and they have all of these different sectors that they employ different groups of people because of these other different products that they have? None of these places that you guys got up there got just one product. So if you do affect their revenue, the first people who are going to get laid off are the very people that you said you're fighting for. Do you have anything in place for these people? But when I tell you these niggas got mad at me,
like, they're not looking at the whole picture. And yeah, you're right. It's emotion. It's definitely emotion because there's other ways to go around it. I mean, boycotting, cancels, it's just, I don't know. It's overused. It's overdone.
Exactly.
especially without looking at the big picture. You're not just hurting that corporation. There are levels to it. And you got to think about that.
Exactly. That,
like, there's different people you're affecting. You're not just hitting the ones with the money. You're also hitting the ones without the money who need that job to pay their bills. Or they're going to be out on the streets. And what are they going to do?
Exactly. And then it's the thing about organizing people, right? So for us, they still got groups of people who are organizing to ask for something, to pretty much beg for something that they can take, right? Pretty much because, you know, why are these people not putting together opportunities that we can create things that we can help people transition from working for these companies? Right? Giving them an alternative. How can you tell somebody to do something without offering them an alternative? It's just like young kids in the street. You're going to tell them not to sell drugs, but not offering them an alternative to make money. They only see this as a means to get money right now. And I'm saying, like, do you not offer them an alternative so they cannot do that? You got to be willing to offer an alternative. Your alternative cannot be, yeah, it's casualties and war. No, you're making an unnecessary war. You got to be logical. If you guys want to gather the people and create businesses. You guys are going to yell at the companies instead of you guys getting together, forming up a means for you to be able to walk into the bank and get the loan you need by playing on their heartstrings based on the information that you have. You might be able to get the money that you need to be able to get certain businesses and stuff that you need started if you think about it the right way. And this is not reparations. They may just do these different things because they know that you'll be able to publicize exactly what's going on when it comes down to the overall bottom line of their company. Not only do you save your people's jobs because they need these jobs, not only until you're able to build an industry where you can employ your own people. Grant Cardone is one of the most arrogant people in the world, right? When it comes to the way that he talks about finances and money, right? He's proud to say he's a Scientologist and the whole nine. But the one thing about that guy is that he is one person that's willing to give you the real truth, right? So this is what he said, Meek. He said, in the United States, the top asset owners and wage earners are the Indian people, people who come over from India. He says second is the Asians, third is the Jewish, fourth are the white, and the fifth and sixth are the Black and Latinos. So even in this country, when we are around here yelling at white people all the time about you ain't this, you ain't that, white people is only one step above us. It's the other people who are three, it's three other levels above the level that we keep saying that we got a problem with. So do we really got a problem or what? So like that's the problem, look like it's ours. It don't look like it's, yeah, racism exists. Don't get me wrong, systematic and all other shit. Yeah, I get that. But damn, for us to not have more, you cannot blame it on racism. You just can't. Because the top earners and top asset owners are people that ain't from here, you know, at all. Like, at all. And they employ their own people. We don't own nothing. We ain't built nothing but barbershops and hair salons. Like, we ain't even got no beauty supply stores. Like, not enough to be shaking no stick at. We don't have an industry. We create all the industry. Everything is, the main export of the United States is our talent. Film, music. We control the image of the world. Everybody wants to be like us, and us literally, and we the only ones that don't own nothing that we produce. We don't own nothing that we produce. We have no grocery stores, right? We don't own any farms. Yes, there are black people that own farms. Don't get me wrong, but it's not an industry. Right? The farmers can't hire people. Why? Because where are they going to put the produce? The produce ain't going in certain stores. Why? Because we ain't got our own stores. If we had our own stores, we could do deals with the black farmers in order to get their produce in our stores for the things that we buy. Like, why? The money right there. Like, but we don't do that. The first thing we do when we get some money, what we do? We go buy a car. We go purchase a house. Like, go buy a liability instead of going to buy a rental property or buying you some land and building you rental property and let the residuals that you have pay for your house. And then why buy a house when you can rent it? Like, go rent one. Why the hell are you buying a house? Like, what you going to do? You got to pay taxes. Why live in a world where you got to pay taxes? It's so many different ways where you can live where you're not having to pay taxes. Buying a house, you got to pay taxes. Even when you pay the house off, you're still paying taxes. Does that make sense? I just don't know. You know, I don't know. I just don't know. But then when it comes down to it, this is the stuff. Okay, so this is another thing that they were saying, yo, Meek, about the white people, which was crazy to me because there was one white couple that was there for throughout the weekend. Older white lady and a white man. They was older. The white man wrote two books on the way of how directly to approach any scenario so you could get the reparations because he was a part of all the other ones. He was a white man who was not Jewish, who grew up in a Jewish neighborhood. He was able to witness each of the people who got reparations. He was able to witness the steps it took, and he wrote a book about it. So while people sitting up here yelling up there in the crowd talking about the white man, the white man sitting down here did more stuff for the people than, and then hold on. His wife, the wife got mad awards. She got all these type of civil rights awards and everything else for being a part of the struggle. And these are two white people sitting in there while other people are sitting up there talking about the white man, the white people, the white this, the white that. That to the point where you don't even recognize your allies in the building, you still sitting up here yelling that. Like, we can look at all people that look like us and say, hey, we good out here when we got, I don't know how many black senators in Congress and we still ain't got no hate bill passed and we getting lynched and killed and wiped out in the middle of the street. And the Asians was able to get theirs passed in 30 days, mind you, with two senators on deck. Fuck out of here, yo. They playing with us and we allowing them to. And that ain't even the kicker. So the kicker is about the whole thing is that the dude got mad at me. The dude really did. He got upset with me. You know what I'm saying, Meek? Because then he tried to throw something in the air. He tried to say, well, if that's the case, then we'll just have to create the jobs so they can come work. I said, yeah, but why wouldn't that be the first thing that we organize and do? Create an industry. Why don't you guys use logic to walk into these places in order to get these things done? That way you can employ these people. Don't you think it'll hurt companies more if we knew that they had places for people to work and they were up and they didn't have enough people to work the product, so the customers were the ones that gave them that downplay versus y'all affecting their bottom line and their profit where they just going to go down there and lay these crazy people and go outsource to India? Are you crazy? That strategy is not going to work. You hurt their revenue. They ain't going to do nothing but outsource and send these people home. They don't want to pay the people that's there. They don't want to do it right now. They don't want to pay the insurance right now, but they got to. People are under contract. They cool with it. They getting money. They got revenue coming in. You going to go out there with a bullhorn and yell and scream and then try to affect their bottom dollar, and then these people going to be out in the streets and you ain't got nowhere to go talking about we got to create it. You get what I'm saying? Like, yo, no. And that's what I'm saying about, you know, it's cool to be a person that wants to be down for the cause, but at some point we gotta follow God, man. We can't keep following our emotions, me. We ain't following. We gotta follow God. Like, what? Like, yo, how you not gonna have an alternative for your people? That should be first. We have nothing. We don't own anything. We can't employ our own people. You go to a Chinese restaurant, you don't see no niggas back there flipping that pan up with the rice. You go to the Indian store, the Patel and them. They ain't got no Mexican in there folding up the sweet potatoes. You go to Compare, whatever that is, where the Latino stores is. They ain't got no white man back there on the meat. They employ their own people. We ain't got nothing. We imagine if everybody that was us came together and just owned just basic stuff like toiletries. What if we all came together and we owned a toilet paper company, paper towel company? Don't they think that? What's the first thing to go when a storm comes? Paper towel company. You want to wipe their ass in a storm. right? Yeah, we want the cleanest ass in the world. We don't own that. Like, we can't employ our people, yo. So, you know, I think reparations, and I want people to know, like, it's possible. It's going to happen. These people are fighting. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to fight regardless they coming. I'm just saying to y'all that there's better ways for us to do it. And we have to be willing to not be separate, but we have to be willing to take our own lead when it comes to it. We can't be people that just going to jump in the crowd with everybody based on a thing. Yeah, we could share a hashtag, and yeah, we could share similar ideas, but I can't share views with people who don't put other people first. Like, that's not, I'm never going to be that person. Like, no, I'm never going to stand out there in front of nobody bank and yell nothing about what's going on versus me walking in there talking to the person saying, yo, I need this. They'd be like, a word? I should find no answer. I bet. Yo, bring me that folder real quick. Look at this, fam. Y'all sure y'all want me to go out there with this? Because, you know, I got a pretty good following. You know what, Mr. Myers? Hold on for a second. Let's read this. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Go back there and holler at your man, yo. Let me know what y'all think when y'all come back. Come back 10 minutes later. Approved. Appreciate you, fam. You get what I'm saying? Like, if that's the case, but you got to use it a certain way, because the way reparations got to come to us, it cannot come in just money. I'm sorry, yo. It can't. You know what I'm saying? They got to come in more than that. Y'all violated us, man.
Yeah, and there's no dollar amount you can put on that, really. Like, if there's just, I mean,
how do you measure it?
You can't.
How?
Any amount will be disrespectful. Like, that's true. Any amount, like, oh, that's all we're worth? It don't matter what number you throw out.
Don't matter. Right? It's like, yo, I'm going to give everybody, all of the descendants of Africans, I'm going to give you $1 million. Yo, are you crazy to me, yo? 4 plus 2? We talking about 600 years, yo. And then they'll have people out here talking about, y'all ain't satisfied. It ain't enough. It's like, no, you got to give the stuff back. Eat the stuff in the museum. You got to give it back. The things that you have, you got to give it back. Y'all, the buildings that y'all own, whoever y'all paying lease to, they got to pay lease to, you got to pay. Like, it's that. It's residual income.
Interest.
It's residual income. It's not a check. You can't give reparations and a check to the people who suffered through slavery. You cannot. It's no check that you could give them. You got to give them stuff back, period. And that should be our goal. That should be our motto. Like, bet. Y'all not going to do, I bet. So this is what we're going to do. The group of people that we can get that's like-minded, we're going to get together. We're going to start right here. We're going to build from here. And we're going to add until we get everybody become millionaires. And that's how it would come, because it's not about a dollar amount. It's about being able to have enough of people strong enough that we could put the right candidates in place. We don't have to worry about whether they want to fight. Do you know it's a certain tactic where they want to use, where they're trying to say, Joe Biden, if you want to get these 2.9 million black votes, then you gonna give us reparations before you get out if you want us to vote for you. And I'm like, yo, do y'all not see the administration that's been in? Y'all, are you serious? They've been giving all this money to Ukraine and Israel. You think that they're gonna give you some money and they couldn't give you no money? And then you think that's what they're gonna use when they didn't let 5 million migrants in here? That's our 2.9 million votes plus a few more million votes of people who came over here and got visas and vouchers and Nike clothes.
Food stamps.
Food stamps. Do you understand who you think they're going for? And they talking about you don't have to have an ID to vote. Yet. What? You got to have an ID to buy alcohol, but you don't have to have an ID to say that you live and you from here to pick the person that's going to run here, yo. You bugging, yo. And you ain't paying no income tax because they giving you money. All you doing is paying whatever sales tax is for random stuff. The people who going to work, it's a person right now on a bus driving by some migrant who's shopping It's not funny, but it is, right? You gotta watch this like a shopping while you at work with your money. Right? And so I'm saying, like, when are we gonna get enough of, like, yo, they don't care about us? Why are we not taking what we need? It's not a force that's needed. We don't need to you know, we don't need to go walking around yelling and screaming, right? We got to add capitalism to our hustle. That's it. Like, we got to stop playing this victim game. We got to stop acting like just because the majority of us is sitting up in somebody's church. And that's another thing. Church got people thinking like you ain't supposed to have nothing. Because, like, what? Is you crazy? How many people in the Bible that in the Bible that y'all subscribe to was rich and it was righteous? Like, get out of my, you know, get out of here, yo. Like, that has nothing to do with who you are as a person. Just because you got a little bit of paper. Like, just because you got money, if you're an asshole, you're an asshole broke.
Yeah, you're probably just better at it with money. You know? That's it. Because you feel you don't need nobody, so you really an asshole. It's just upped. You know? Like, that's all.
You're an up asshole. If you corny, if you get money, you still going to be corny. You just going to be corny with money. It's mad people out there that's corny with money. Mad celebrities, they corny. They got money, but they mad corny. You be around them and you be like, oh, man, yo, this dude lame. Right? There are celebrities who subscribe to OnlyFans pages. You corny. Like, you that thirsty?
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. But anyway, the whole thing is what I'm saying is that there are so many good things that I got out of this weekend. And then there's those things that make me say, this is the reason why, you know, I'm thank God that, you know, to be able to be a thinker. Thank you. I just thankful for that, because if I was just based off of emotion, I probably would have been one of them people out there with a bullhorn yelling and screaming at some people and not even really thinking about the people that I'm trying to help.
I feel like too, if you think about the people who mentored the ones who are running this, that was their attitude, the white man, because they grew up in a different era. And I feel like you said, they're not really doing research. They're just going off of what they were taught, who the greatest and the best, who done Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. Those are the things that they would have said, the white man, or, you know, something like that. And right. I feel like they haven't changed up the vocabulary and they haven't adapted to the newer times. And that, I feel like that's the biggest problem. They're not adapting to today's times and going about it in a different way. Those ways may have worked in the past or gave the impression that it worked. But it's no longer the way to go about things. So they need to just do some more reading and really get up on shit and think about different ways to do this. Cause maybe back in the day, there wasn't Black people who were employed there. So them shouting that shit in front of that bank, they didn't have to worry about the Black people losing their jobs or, you know, it wasn't as big. And so I feel like they're just stuck in that old regimen from the 60s, the 70s, you know, back then. And it's not the same. Things have changed. So those old fight plans that y'all had, the old battle, you know, they went out and sketched up what they about to hit first. That's no longer relevant. It's not the same. And I'm hoping like the younger generation jumps in and they need to get active. Because they do have a different way of thinking and they do have a different way of viewing the world today. And so if the old heads can realize that they don't got all the answers and start listening to the younger generation who does get involved, I really feel like they can come together, because the old heads have some good, they have the strength, they have the discipline to do it. That's what the younger generation can learn from them. And then the new perspective is what the old heads can learn from the younger people. Right.
From using technology and from understanding, because you made a good point. Like, you know, that whole, I'm angry. But, you know, the thing is, though, I'm going to be honest with you, mean, like, the older people were in there and they definitely represent it. But the people that are in charge of the boycott who feel like that is important are people that is like our age and stuff like that, which that is what really concerned me, because that's part of the generation that grew up under what they consider, and I'm not throwing shade, but this is just what they consider the age of the single mother, where these people grow up under that regime. And these are the people who are now turn militant because of the fact that, first of all, you know, you got to think about it. They add religion to the aspect too, because, you know, of course there were people there that was from the Nation of Islam. There were people who were a Hebrew Israelite, all these different type of factions were there. You know what I mean? Because each person has a different sort of history about who we are as a people. And I get that, but when it comes to that, I think people try so hard to fit the image of it, me, versus the logic.
I think it's supposed to be like that's what it's
called. I'm supposed to be angry. I'm supposed to be militant. I'm supposed to yell and scream at everybody until they hear me. And versus them saying like, "Yo, fam, you know you ain't gotta yell and scream no more for them to hear you." Now they got something called cancel culture. Now you can get a bunch of people to join behind you, and you can get some stuff shut down if you put it in the right perspective. If y'all willing to take it there, nah, because I can't yell. I'm like, okay, well, damn, dude. You hoarse right now, though, fam.
Yeah, y'all been yelling for what?
Yelling for an hour. Like
60 years y'all been yelling. It's not.
Yelling. Like, come on, B. Y'all ain't tired of yelling? Y'all ain't tired of marching? Yeah. Okay. So after the yell and the march, then what? No, one person said something that really made me upset, too. You know, like, yo, we get the check. It don't matter what they spend it on. They can spend it on whatever they want, which is true. I was saying that's true. And it was like, yeah, but we don't want no education. They talking about if they want to throw in their free education for us, what that look like. We don't need no education. I'm like, yeah. So y'all don't want to know what to do with the money once y'all get it so y'all can keep getting the money? Yo, people got mad at me. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know why. I do know why, but it's just it's terrible because, like, what were we there for if you didn't want people to?
Yeah, it's all, you need those different perspectives, and that's 100%. I feel like people, if you disagree, it shouldn't be an issue. You know what I mean? Like that. That's why we're here. We're here with different perspectives. We're here with different points of view, and ways to see things and break things down to help each other, because you can only see it from your perspective. So you're tunnel vision. So if I throw in a little bit more, open up your view, you're like, oh, I didn't see that. And then somebody else, it just keeps broadening your view and it makes it better. So now you can see everything instead of just your tunnel vision.
Your one narrow view. And then that's what happened. And I think that's what made it worse, because other people were like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
of course, right? And it's not to say anything about me, I'm just saying, like, yo, of course, because, you know what I mean, like, you guys don't understand that what you're doing is opposite of what you're saying. There's so many people in this world that do opposite of what they say, or they want something that they don't give. And you want people to accept the fact that they're Afro descendants. You want that to be the new name. You want to take African American completely off the map. You want all of us to recognize exactly who we are so we can get the right separation and the right representation. I get that. But you can't start off by putting people in the street.
No.
You gotta at least start off by no. Who going to support that? You got to at least start off looking out for their children, if nothing else. Like, you ain't going to look out for the kids? Like, what we doing? Like, why you think that the children are not important, that these jobs are in a place for a reason? You want to get rid of the company, then compete with the company. Where's your bank at? Right? You know, and then, you know, when they said that, and this is another thing, a dude going to ask me, he going to say, yo, what you mean? Like, how are we going to start a bank? I say, yo, each and every person can have their own bank. Like, why not get whole cash life insurance policies where you be your own bank? You borrow from your own money. You're still going to get more in interest than you would having your money in a traditional bank. Anything. What are we doing, yo? Do you not see what Bitcoin is doing? Bitcoin is averaging 12% every year. Like, what are you doing? Like, you wouldn't want 12% on top of your 6? Like, you get 6% on the insurance bag, but then in the bank, you get 0.4% or some shit like that. You don't even get a percent. You don't even get 1% in interest. So, like, that don't make more sense to you? And can you imagine that in 10 years? On top of whatever your little 401k or your state plan that you in for those people who work in the state. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in a world where you don't have to go to work and you still getting money? Or picture yourself around a world where the cars are flying around and you got one and you ain't got to go punch no clock because you done made some smarter decisions with your little bit of money. Like we said last time, me, get rid of your fat back money. You take 30 days of snack money, right, and put it somewhere. And then next thing you know, you might be sitting around in 10 years looking like, oh, my God.
Yeah, because I like a lot of snacks. So
and 30 days of no snacks for you. You know what type of come on. Think about that. Think about where that goes. Imagine if other people in the house take that same initiative too and everybody put their little money in something. Imagine. All you need is a 30-day fast. Some people do fasting for 30 days. Imagine in that 30-day fast, people shift their mindset and say, I bet I want to unbig my back and my belly, but instead of me sitting there and saying, all right, belly back, activate, let me take this money that I would have put my belly and back in jeopardy and put that in somewhere and just let it go. Let it get big like my back was going to do. Let the money work for me.
And then I could buy all the snacks. Rebig my back. Thank you very much.
Look, I told a person too, like, yo, what's your snack? What's the name of your snack you love? It? I love snacks. I love Oreos. I love Doritos. I bet that person, take your money and invest in those people's stocks. So every time you buy it, you making money then. Do that.
Yeah, I need to do all the food.
You see what I'm saying? But that's the only thing I'm talking about. $10 here, $20 here, $5 here, $10 here. You ain't got to sit up here and run. I'm just saying, take that same little vending machine money and just say, hey, let me go over there. They got cryptocurrency that ain't even a penny right now. You could put $2-3 on it and get a couple of 100,000 of them. And then when they become a dollar, you be sitting up here a couple of 100,000 richer. You just sitting around. It's just sitting there. I'm just talking about that thing, offering our people an alternative versus trying to put them in a position where they got to beg from somebody. That's the new wave. It's not to go against what I went through this weekend at all. It's some good stuff on the table. They are going to the UN every year. It's going to happen. That's fly. But the whole boycotting and all that corniness, I was going to call it coonness, but all that corniness, I'm not with that because you got to make sure that you have something for the people. That's period. We ain't doing all that, yo. Word. And we not trying to hold our vote for nobody, yo. Like, yo, forget that, man. Cats vote. I already know. From the way things looking, people voting for Trump. I don't know. They just voting for the fam. I don't know what else they going to do outside of that. But ain't nobody voting for Biden. I don't care what he give. He can give everything he want to give. Ain't nobody voting for him. That whole Palestine and Israel thing, that thing crazy, man. People, kids getting, yo, they wilding, yo. No, it's a whole genocide going on right now, yo. And technically, we paying for it. Everybody who is going to work and pay those, they are paying for that over there, you know? Everybody. Even the people who sitting up here saying, they ain't got nothing to do with me.
Not directly.
Not directly, but involuntarily, right? So I'm not with it, mate. So it's like this. It's a plan in place, and it's going to go down. Like I said, it may not be the plan, but it is a plan, and I hope that a lot of people are able to pay attention to it and they grasp it and we move forward. But we have industry. We have things that we should be owning and putting into a perspective so we can hire our own people. We shouldn't be living in fear like there's no money. It's plenty of money. We just got to be the people who want more than a barbershop and a hair salon. That's it. We got to want more than that. We got to want insurance companies. We got to want to be angel fund investors. We got to want to be real estate investors. We got to want to become, you know, banks. We can loan. We could do smart contracts. That's another thing. It's certain things that we could do that we can figure it out. Like, we got to learn about NFTs. I mean, why not learn about it? How many of us know somebody that's a dope-ass artist that paint and stuff with they? Come on. You mean we don't want to get into NFTs for original print? I don't know. Somebody told me, like, yo, what you mean? Why would we do that? I'm like, yo, all the rich people, why are they buying all the art then? Why are they putting their money in art? We ain't learned nothing. Like, art is money. NFT is art. What? How much more do we, like, how many more people want to go punch that clock every day? Like that's your energy? I respect it, right? But we cannot say that there's not alternatives for us to supplement our income or bring more in. So if things happen like AI take over our jobs, we not in the street. That's all I'm saying. Love your job, do your job. You love it, I like it. I just don't not pay attention, because reparations is something that is coming. I know it is. But then, you know, let's think about it this way, y'all. It may not come tomorrow. So until then,
figure it out.
Until then, we got to figure it out. But, yo, to all of y'all that watch, thank y'all, man. Hold on. It was a comment. I think I seen a comment. I wasn't in the comment joint, y'all. Oh, that was Jesse. She said good point. Yo, listen, I definitely appreciate those of y'all that's watching, man, for real, because, like I said, you know, the playbacks are going to come, and I know people who went to the convention when I tagged things, they're going to look at this. And maybe some people may think that I'm saying something that they don't like, but it's okay, because that's what we need. We need you guys to know that the rest of us out here are thinking too. Like, yeah, there are people out here who know what we deserve, but we also are people who, some of these people work for these companies that y'all out here boycotting. And so you got to be a person that is going to think about the people and be for the people. You can't be about your own agenda because you feel like that's the way it should go. We got to think outside the box, yo. So those of y'all that's watching, thank y'all for watching, yo. I definitely appreciate y'all for taking out y'all time to check us out tonight. Next week, we have another Impacted Family on. And then, well, throughout the month. And then we go into June. And then June, we have a couple of people coming on that we want to really talk to. And I think for me, you know, in the world of politics, it's great to talk to somebody that we know is actually running for mayor. And I think it'll be interesting to have that conversation with him, right? So for those of y'all that's watching up until then, we hope that y'all jump on that day too. So, you know, you guys may want to ask some questions too, because, yeah, we need more people to be interested in running for different offices, you know. Now, you know, for the mayor and stuff like that, you know, they're gonna get in your business, so be all right out here in these streets, and they're gonna get in your business. But yeah, they're gonna get in your business, so I ain't gonna lie.
I'm
good on that, yo. They dude was down there calling me Rod X and shit, and and I was like, yo, man, you gotta be the next leader. I was like, no, I don't. I said, yo, I said, I'm not. I said, that ain't the goal. The goal, we shouldn't even have no one leader. We ain't learned yet that one person, once they get, they all got killed. One person.
Yeah, exactly. One person. The next person up on the hit list. I'm not trying to be that person.
But the people around him never kept it going. I'm like, no, I don't want to be that person that people get excited to be out front and then don't show up. That's just like the star of the game, like LeBron, like Kobe, like all these people. Like, yo, it sucks being the person that everybody rallies behind. That means that they ain't gonna do nothing once you ain't in there. Like, yo, I don't want that corny shit. All them people that was around Martin Luther King when he got shot, ain't none of them fighting for us right now. Jesse Jackson messed us up with this African-American shit. Al Sharpton ain't doing nothing but getting big and small. He doing that at the same time. He like big and small, and then big, then back small, and then his head just stay the same size either way his body go. He's just big and small. His head just like, fuck it. We gonna stay big. Yeah, you can't lose your head fat. No. I don't understand that, because the first thing sweat is my forehead, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's different.
He must don't got no sweat glands in his head. I don't know how that works.
Once your head get fat, it's over. Like, you can't, you're never going to unbig your head. So,
I guess so. Sheesh. But, yo, but for real, you know, like, these people never kept the thing going, y'all. And it's corny. So no, I don't want to be nobody leader. I'm saying like, yo, it's just, this is just the facts. Those people who want to be leaders, we can rally behind y'all. You know what I'm saying? Not just so y'all could get shot. I'm saying in the sense of that's what you desire to do. Go ahead and do it. I want to do films and stuff. I don't want to be out here playing around with y'all. I want to do things that so we can take our industries back. I want to employ our people. You know what I mean? I know these industry thing. I know what they doing to export. I know what they're using to make the money. So I'm a part of it. I want to get that. I want to be able to employ people. I'm not here to be around here trying to, you know, be the blackest man in the room. I got the blackest name already. God damn. I already get extra check when I go somewhere. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, some people name that was in there, they name I can't even pronounce. They had some of their names are just consonants.
Yeah.
Like, damn, that's dope. But it was fly. It sounded fly. I was like, dope. I was like, yeah, what's your name? Rashid. Oh, good, brother. Hey, brother. Like, I ain't bad. Like, I'm y'all can't recruit me. I ain't. Yeah. I got the name for it, but the way my life's set up, I smoke weed, so nah. But yo, but dead ass. So before we get out of here, I want everybody to know that it's gonna be more information to come on reparations. I want y'all all to pay attention. There is a real thing. We are not African Americans. That is not what we are, and that's not. I'm not just saying that because of the convention. I've been saying that. That is not what we are. We are. That's not a race. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, we will get the information to y'all as it comes. I have some postcards. What I do have, so I have a group of postcards that I want to give people. I left my. Hold on. Let me see. Let's see if I can grab it. Yeah, my chair got wheels on it. So look, I rolled around. So what I got here... It's some postcards. So what these postcards are for the current president right now, right? So all you got to do is put a stamp on it. You don't have to put your name on it or nothing. These are postcards. I know y'all probably can't see it. I will definitely show y'all. So these are postcards that's directed right to the president today that is for those people who would want to let people know that they are in the whole fight for reparations, right? And they want to establish a reparations commission, right? And they want an executive order written into place. So they're saying that in order for this to happen, that people have to show solidarity and that they really want it. So what we do, we got these postcards. I have a bunch of postcards. And what we could do is for people that know me personally, y'all want to get a card from me, all you got to do is put a stamp on it, throw it in the mail. That's all we got to do. Or you guys can cash at me the amount for a stamp, and I'll put it in the mail for you. But I have a big stack. I could get more. It's not really a big stack, but I got a stack. I could get more. And if you guys are really serious about it, you can send the joints in. Send a little postcard in, letting them know it's cool. And how this, what happens, it records where you come from as far as, like, the postage. So if you're in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, wherever it is, of course, you know, they got to stamp the postage of where it come out of. It lets them know that where you know, from all over, that this is what this is. So we want people to understand that they have things going on if you guys want to contribute. And like I said earlier, my Puerto Ricans, my Cubans, my Dominicans, my Mexicanos, right? Your Venezuelans, your people from Portugal, all y'all sitting around here, Jamaicans, your Haitians, you know, y'all sitting around here acting like this ain't about y'all too. This is about y'all too. I get it. They've been lying to y'all for a long time, acting like they y'all something different because y'all speak different and y'all hair different and some of y'all height is terrible. But the fact is still remains. We the same people. So remember that. If you ain't going to remember nothing else I just said, remember that. Don't lie to yourself. Don't play yourself. Play PlayStation. Me, before we get out of here, what you got? You got anything you want the people to know? I know y'all been helping people find out who they are as a person.
Yes. We still got that going. We'll be having some more classes set up for next month. And then another 4-week joint starting in July. So yeah, the ones for next month will just be an introduction to human design. So if you're just interested, what is it kind of thing, we're going to try to do a couple of big webinars, just kind of introducing the topic. And then if you're interested further, we can break down your chart and your design and who you are in a 4-week workshop. So yeah, follow me on Facebook, take a look. I've been super busy with that, getting that stuff organized. So kind of haven't been doing my journals, but I'm back up on that and getting journals and planners done as well. So hit me up. Let me know.
All right. Y'all know what to do, man. Y'all holler at me, man. Y'all get that together. And as far as me, y'all know what we're doing, man. We're going to keep the platform rolling. We're going to continue our quest on helping impacted families, because it's very important that we stick to the script. And also, we're going to have a bunch of other interesting people on. So I want y'all to continue to follow us, like the page, subscribe, and just make sure y'all continue to keep up with Sparking Conversation in a whole. Collective Visions, we continue to build. Right now, I mean, I have a bunch of content in the cut. I have to release it, so I'm doing that. In the interim, we will be jumping into the film space. We're going to be jumping into short films and full-length films. Collective Visions is growing. We're taking it to the next level. I've been building with a lot of different people in and out of the state, and we're putting some things together, and it looks like, like I said, it's always, you know, it's the thing about growth, right? You got to be willing to grow, and you got to be willing to take a chance, too, on yourself, and not think that, you know, what happens for other people can't happen for you, right? Especially when it's positive. So we got a lot going on when it comes to that. So y'all please follow everything that we got going on. Stay connected. And yeah, just, you know, do your part in believing in the fact that your life can change with unity, y'all. Like, just think about that. The reparations was, the convention was a great thing. It was a 4-day thing. It ended off yesterday with Cornel West speaking, and y'all know he's running for president. He's running off of the platform of reparations, as well as some other things that he's standing on. It was a really dope event, y'all. I just want y'all to know that. It is some things that just, not everything's not going to be perfect. So the things that I did disagree with, it's honest. I told them to their face that I didn't agree. So it's not like I'm coming up here on here popping shit on my platform because I'm no longer in front of them. I said it in front of them because they did tell me they were upset. So I was able to tell them right then and there, like, I get it, but I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is real. Like, people, you got to think about the people. And that's just the bottom line. So anyway, thank y'all for jumping on tonight, for all of y'all that is. Thank you for all of y'all that continue to follow us and everything. And until next week, we'll see y'all, man. And don't forget, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So stay fly out there, y'all. Peace.